Welcome to They That Hope with Father Dave and Bob, seeing humor and hope in a crazy world. And I'm Bob.
And I'm Father Dave.
And thank you for listening to today's podcast.
Hey, man, it's always nice to gather with people together, right?
It is. We had a great gathering last night at Bennigan's.
Did we?
We did.
Did we?
We did.
It depends on perspective, I suppose.
Well, if you are a Tampa Bay fan.
And there aren't many in this area.
Well, you know what?
There aren't.
No, there's not. No. Well, okay, here's the thing. And there's a lot of folks listening. They feel like they're strangers.
Let's just stop there.
Yeah. Okay. For the few people who are listening.
There's a couple people listening.
And some of them are men, by the way.
Well, that's a whole other issue. It is. Somebody came up to me yesterday and they said, Father Dave, you realize that no men listen. It's just, that's not true.
I have emails to prove that
that's right.
Be in the next segment. So, you feel like a stranger in a strange land sometimes when you root for a team that geographically is nowhere near. You know, it's like that guy wearing the Cowboys jacket and you're like, get out of the 90s, kid.
Right.
You know, but like there's this weird feeling. And again, this is what I think some of our listeners would sympathize with, of being not a fan of the local team, not necessarily hating the local team, you know, but... But then I do notice I wear my Bucks stuff a lot more with pride these
days. That's all you wear. What do you mean
that's a lot more? Okay, but that's all I ever wear. But now I'm actually like kind of happy about it. Now
kinda,
it's like, hey,
kinda cocky
Brady,
about it.
Huh?
Actually, I joke about guys not listening to it, but I got a text message that said, you know, you guys are going to be talking about football. I got another text message that said Bob's going to be awful tomorrow morning on the podcast. So, yeah, it's just... Actually, one of the things about Steubenville, because people have come in from all over, is that you have that a lot. There's
yes.
a lot of different fan bases because right. they come from other places, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Mostly Steelers. But now
yes,
the, now
yes.
the Browns fan, now the you're
Browns,
realizing
okay.
who
some,
are Browns
some,
fans.
Some people go out and they can take off the bag off their head and admit
this year I've realized I have more Browns fan friends. Friends fans? Browns?
Browns friends.
Who are fans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. Anyway, the point is, it's all fun. But the greatest victory, of course, Jesus. That was my prayer last night. I was like, Lord Jesus, let me be more tangibly excited about your victory over death and sin.
Right, and we
than
are
I
literally
about
in front of your very eyes and in front of your very ears. You're listening to Bob. Realize, oh my gosh, maybe I was a little too excited about that win and saying maybe it was. So we are literally, one of our topics today is conversion. So we are literally listening to conversion take place.
This is metanoia.
That's right.
You are witnessing metanoia and it's a beautiful thing. So just exciting. But you know, it was fun to be with everybody. A lot of people came out to Bennigan's. We have a mutual friend, Tim Delaney, who is our alumni director.
From Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin.
He was not happy about
this. He was unhappy. He invited me to Bennigan's to do like a cheer off thing, but he just brought his wife. And then I said, my whole family's coming. He's like, your whole family's coming? I was like, well, yeah. So he was outnumbered dramatically.
Yes, he was.
Until I left. I left at the half because I just needed to go home and be in a place where I could either scream or cry in private.
That's good.
Yeah.
It was great. And again, we've gone back to that quote of the Holy Father time and time again about these little hopes. Sports is sports, but sports for me, it's being together. It was just fun being there last night. Being together, having a beer, talking, laughing. Yeah, it was great.
I was in the car this morning and I couldn't believe it's the end of January. And I realized like part of it is because I'm just so used to football being done like January 2nd for the past 15 years of my life.
Yeah.
So it's almost like changes my calendar.
But the other thing that we're celebrating is that we've got birthdays coming up.
We have birthdays coming up.
Yeah.
My birthday
is tomorrow.
Which will be yesterday for those listening the day it's released.
Exactly. And you're going to be
49. And
that's
feeling
fantastic.
Fine.
Fantastic. So we kind of got a little gift
for you.
Next week sometime.
No, but next week is this week. Remember how podcast time works?
Yep.
It's a different place. So
I still don't get that, but
cuz
it's next week no matter how we look at it.
Yeah. But in the release schedule it's this week. It's this episode. By the time they hear us again, you will be 63 years old.
You watch too many like time travel movies stuff.
It's not possible. You can't watch too many time travel movies because even if you do, you can go back in time and fix it.
Watch it again.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly. How old are you going to be?
56.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Good times.
Uh-huh.
And you love talking about it.
Birthdays?
Your birthday. Mm-hmm. I know, I can tell.
I mean, it's a birthday. I'm not personally opposed to it or anything. It's just, yeah, it's good. But it's still not till next week. We'll talk about it later. But we got a little gift.
You know, later will be yesterday by then.
Exactly. It'll be next week.
Anyway, we got a gift from our friends. Speaking of women listeners.
That's right.
The Abiding Together podcast.
It was really sweet.
It was really sweet.
So Heather was dropping her daughter off, Maria, this week.
They might not know what the Abiding Together podcast is.
And we've plugged it at one of the very first ones we did. It's a wonderful, wonderful podcast with Sister Miriam and Michelle Benzinger and Heather Kemp.
Or do you know someone who is?
Yeah, they are. All of them. But they just do a really, really beautiful job.
Yeah.
And Heather dropped off her daughter. I've known Heather for a long, long time. And we come into the podcast studio this morning. There's a nice little bag with chocolates and coffee cups. See, that's a thing a woman would do, right?
You know, it's so totally true.
The difference between them and us.
Is it sad? My first thought was, who had the keys to get in here? I thought this place was a secure location.
It's not.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not. So they have a beautiful, now is this their tagline?
No, I don't think so.
They just have a cool mug.
Right.
And this is a great quote. The one who has hope lives differently. By Pope Emeritus Benedict the 15th, 16th. I don't even know what Super Bowl it is. It's LVI or something like
It's actually always my age, so it's 56.
Is that right? They started the Super Bowl to celebrate your birth.
They do. Actually, it might be 55. It's either the one I just had or the one 56.
No, there's an I in there.
Okay.
LVI.
So question, do you do some kind of special thing for your birthdays or customs in your family or?
We have cake. I don't have much of a sweet tooth, but yellow cake with white frosting.
Nice.
Just as plain can be, not as fries to anybody who knows me. I usually watch a Star Wars movie with the family.
Good. So it's kind of a custom in your family.
Yeah. How about yourself?
With the Friars, we always have whoever's birthday it is, they get to choose. We always have prayer. And then after prayer, whoever is having a birthday, they get to choose what's for dinner, which is nice. And we've got just a wonderful, the woman who cooks for us is just such a wonderful job. And there's 14 of us. And then we often have like an honoring, just kind of honor whoever's birthday it is and let them know of our prayers and how we appreciate them. So it's great.
So what are you going to ask for?
You know, that's the big question right now. Right. That's the question. You know what? I usually go for some like kind of comfort food. She always laughs at me because she goes like, don't you want me to do something? So I was thinking chili dogs with cheese and tater tots and something.
She goes, you at a ball game?
That's what she said. She goes, how old are you? But I'm thinking I might be leaning towards po' boys.
What's a po' boy?
Oh, my gosh. Po' boys, it's a New Orleans sandwich with...
Is it really po' boy? Like
P-O? Yeah, I think it's P-O, yeah.
Okay. And apostrophe?
I
don't know.
But it's just the best sandwich in the world, and it's the bread that's good, and I think I'm going to do like a shrimp po' boy, and you put shrimp on it. You wouldn't like
that
it at
horrible.
All.
I know. Sounds horrible.
With some kind of sauce and some pickles and lettuce and maybe some little bit of hot sauce. It's just fantastic. So I don't know the answer to the question that, but I need to decide today because she needs to do the shopping. So
yeah.
That'll bring people back next week. Yes. Yeah. The only reason they're going to come back
is
like,
cliffhangers.
Gee, I wonder what Father Dave had for his birthday.
Right. Well, because they're not going to wonder. I wonder what Bob will say about the Tampa Bay game because it's not a game this weekend.
That's right. They were 2 weeks to get ready for that.
I know. This is the Pro Bowl celebration, not the game, but just a celebration of good players.
It'll be fun. This is the first time in history that the Super Bowl is in the home stadium of one of the teams playing.
I know. Yeah, that's crazy.
Great. That's great.
And season ticket holders have nothing.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, everyone's like, so are you going to the game?
Sorry, Mrs. Rice.
You know, and yeah, it's like, no, they don't really care. They treat the Super Bowl like it could be anywhere. Yeah. Like there's no,
absolutely.
You get no local pull. I got an email from NFL with tickets. A whole ticket package was
sure
only $9,100 per person.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to have a great time.
I was like, yeah, that's too bad. Well, when the season started, you know, my sister is a Patriots fan and was really only a Bucks fan because of my dad. So when my dad passed away, she told me, she's like, I don't actually care about the Buccaneers. But when Tom Brady joined the Bucks, she really felt like, okay, this is dad. You know, like he's up there in heaven, like, you know, making football deals and stuff like that. And so we're going to, you know, if they make it to the Super Bowl, we're going. Well, maybe not so much
now. Yeah, that's right.
That was before, you know, COVID was really insane and we realized, you know, but it is, you know, you talked about family and, you know, memories and bringing family together. It's just, yeah, all those little hope things and celebrations and birthdays, all that great stuff.
That's awesome. It's
a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. You know, something that's a beautiful thing that is not happening this year, talking about bringing people together, is the March for Life. Did it just get canceled outright?
Well, they're going to have a virtual. It's going to be Friday,
okay.
And it's a virtual conference that they're going to do with some talks and those kinds of things in the gathering.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but yeah,
especially this year.
I get it. There's just so many questions, and there was worried about safety and those kinds of things.
Security and all that stuff. Yeah.
But the university it's great that the university is going to be offering several different events throughout the day. So if people wanted to participate, I know that the March for Life is doing something so that they go online and they can watch virtually. I believe there's going to be a small gathering at the White House.
Okay.
Outside the White House.
Sure.
To pray. And then at Franciscan University, we're going to do multiple events during the day. So if you just continue to check our website, I think our YouTube channel, Facebook, there'll be various things that people could be able to participate in. And if nothing else, we want to encourage the people to pray and fast that day. It's just, we're in for a long couple of years. It's just been such a difficult situation with the whole abortion issue. So we continue to pray for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And just an encouragement, like, do something. You know, there could be a tendency to say, it's virtual. Oh, it's another virtual thing. Oh, I can't go, and just to kind of forget about the day, but don't.
Right.
You know, really, it is important that we come together as a family of people who care about life at all stages, that we pray, that we advocate. You know, those numbers get reported. You know, how many people?
Right.
I mean, politicians look at every number, you know, and especially those that are pro-life politicians, they just need our support, you know, and they need to be able to say, I mean, if anything, I hope the metrics for the virtual March for Life are bigger than we've ever had for a march, because there's no reason. There's no reason why everybody can't get on their computer for at least some part of the day on Friday and just give some of that time and some of that prayer to support one of the most important things in America.
And one of the things we're doing, we're encouraging people at the university, because the national march isn't going on. And the reality is that only a small percentage of people are called to a national stage like that.
Right.
So I was encouraging people to do two things, to work locally. You know, go to your local church or your local pregnancy center and just be able to offer some kind of help there. But then also the money that might have been used for going on the bus and their meals and all those kinds of things, donate that to a pregnancy center place, just to be able to continue to reach out. I think sometimes we forget those that are literally right down the street from us. We're going to do some work with AIM Ministries down here in Steubenville. So just little
That's
things
great.
You can do are really important.
Yeah, amen.
Great.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, speaking of letting voices be heard, I have a bit of an apology to all of you.
So he keeps on telling me, no, nobody's emailing me.
There's just a lot of passwords and stuff. And this is like something that drives me crazy. Like, you know, you log into your email server and you've got to put in your password again, and then it's going to text you, and then you've got to put in that number, and then it shows like weird squiggly lines, and you have to try to figure out
those
what the letters
worst,
are.
Because you can't tell what they are. It's like, is that a six or is that a – it's awful. I hate those
Or
things.
There's always like, which picture has the crosswalk? And you can see like a tiny, tiny edge of a crosswalk on a curb.
Why
and you're
can't
like,
we all just trust each other?
I know. The blood sample is the hardest part.
Yeah. That's
anyway,
true.
There's just a lot going on. So I didn't make it.
I go something tricky. I do password instead of 123. I always do password 321.
You are a rebel. But now you need to change that for the dozens of listeners who will hack into your account.
That's true. Darn it.
Anywho, point being, we've got emails. And we've been getting emails. And thank you for all of those.
So
we have been
awful.
Emailing us and also probably listening to the podcast wondering.
Those jerks.
I sent
That's
an
right.
email. Like, why doesn't he read my emails? One of my favorite emails is from Colleen. This was after. Oh, what?
Go ahead. I'm not sure which one you're going to read.
This is. So she also had her car door frozen, but it was in a van. And instead of, you know, doing the sissy thing, climbing through the back. That's her words, not mine. Actually, my words, not hers.
Right. Thanks, Colleen.
She pulled the entire sliding door right off the side of the car.
Yeah. You know, I can just, okay, so I'm trying to imagine this. And her little kids there, you know, watching mommy. It's like, gee, we can't open up the door. And she literally tears the door
off. She just rips it off.
Those kids were perfect the rest of the day.
Yeah.
It's like,
Yeah.
Mommy's.
Any questions?
Yeah, that's right.
So
Get in the car.
So, and then I guess she just like kind of stuck it back on to get on there and kept driving around. So thanks, Colleen, for that story of hope. Amen. Thanks for everybody for all the shout outs. Actually, one of our male viewers, his name is Christopher, and it even has a little picture of him in the thing. So he's definitely a guy. He asked a great question. He said, you know, he loved the fact that our podcast is, you know, focused on that Isaiah verse, they that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And he just said, any other great scripture verses of hope that are out there? Mm-hmm. To which we thought, there are lots.
This may be a little section we could do. Maybe.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking.
You know, a couple times a week, that's great.
Yeah, you know, just draw from that. Yeah. One of the I immediately thought of was from the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29, chapter 11. It's really well known. I know well the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for woe, plans to give you a future full of hope.
Amen.
And what I love about that scripture is not just the scripture itself, but, you know, I memorized that scripture when I was in high school, you know, as just a great scripture about God's providence and hope in the Lord. But it was only much later that I learned the context of that scripture. And in the context of Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah is a prophet in Jerusalem, watching Jerusalem be taken over by Nebuchadnezzar, watching people led in chains out to Babylon. I mean, he was alive at a very, very difficult time, and a difficult time to be a prophet. Because he kept telling people,
it's always a difficult time to be a prophet.
Yeah, that's a true statement. But that's a really difficult time. That's a really difficult time. So he wrote a letter to those in Babylon who were the exiles in Babylon. And there they are. I mean, they witnessed the destruction of the holy city, lost friends, lost family members, you know, are in exile in this foreign city. And Jeremiah sends them a letter, you know, written, you know, saying the voice of the Lord. So they probably open it up with great enthusiasm, and they think, okay, it's going to be the Lord is coming to save you. The Lord, you know, will destroy your enemies, you know, raise up and fight. You know, this is what you've been waiting for. And the letter itself just starts off with build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their fruits, take wives and have sons and daughters, increase there, do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city to which I have exiled you. Pray for it to the Lord, for upon its welfare your own depends. And they're probably like, what? You know? And,
that's it. Just kind of live.
And then it comes to this thing of, I know you don't know what's going on. I know everything seems horrible. I know everything seems dark. But I know well the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for woe. Plans to give you a future full of hope. And I think it's just a great verse in any time in our life when we're feeling darkness, when we're feeling despair, when we're frustrated with our parish, when we're frustrated with our nation, when we feel like we're exiles. You know, God is just speaking in the midst of that in difficult times.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that are cool about that is that, one, he doesn't tell them to do anything extraordinary. It's not like you have to. You just continue to do what you're doing. Continue to get up in the morning. And that's that image of getting up in the morning. One of the things that I love about hope is that the sun is always going to rise again tomorrow, right? It's not, whatever our circumstances are, it's not the end of the story. And that's what he's saying. It's just continue to live. The Lord is faithful. He is good. He is present. He hears you. He sees you. And that's honestly, sometimes that's all we need to know is it's not all useless. It's not all crazy. That he really does see, really is present. So, yeah, Jeremiah's a great character.
Yeah, he is. The weeping prophet, as he's known.
Yeah, a lot of prophets, yeah. Yeah, the darker the world, the more difficult it is to be a prophet, and Jeremiah lived that out for us.
Yeah, so a great example of faith. Another great example of faith. Oh, wait, we're going to do the plug.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Today we want to plug this podcast. And actually, the video version of this podcast. We've been teasing this for a while, but last week it actually happened. You can now see me in my Tampa Bay Bucks regalia?
Okay.
Regaglia?
Okay.
You can see Father Dave in his cozy little scarf.
Somebody said that there have been a couple of people that have watched it and seen it. I'm not sure. And they said, are you going to wear a different scarf every week? And I said, No, because I think I have two.
So, you can at least rotate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can at least rotate it.
Exactly.
And then you get to see all the eye rolls and face palms that Father Dave gives me frequently throughout.
Maybe I should put a shield in front, because 80% of the time it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he just said that. Some of the things I'm thinking is that we're going to edit that, or we're going to edit. One of these days we'll put out an unedited version, right? Actually, yeah. We don't edit a lot.
We barely edit anything.
But it's fun. This is great. I mean, Bob's doing, you know, all the work that goes into putting it on online and being able to view it and stuff. So, yeah, I think it looks really cool. Somebody was saying that just to see, you know, to see us and just see us talking and the banter and stuff, they get a kick out of it, apparently. So.
And you see, if you could watch this on video, you'd see how sarcastic his face was as he said
that. Exactly. That's exactly why you what you watch missed. It.
So anyway, it's on my YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and Google, or just search Bob Rice. I think I'm really the only Bob Rice. There's another guy, but it's the guy with the Day That Hope podcast. And I'm sure we're also putting it on Franciscan things and whatnot.
I think so.
Right. Anyway, but that's really fun. Thanks for all the good feedback, and check that out. That'd be great.
Great. Cool. So what we're talking about, the last thing we're going to talk about this week
is conversion.
Is conversion today, which is 2 days ago when you're listening to it, and last right. month, if you're listening to it next week, is the conversion of St. Paul. And I honestly, conversion of St. Paul is one of my, I always say it's one of my favorite feasts, but I really love.
You say that about a
lot of
feasts.
I know, I totally do. I totally do. But I love, first off, I love St. Paul. I've been asked a number of times. I probably mentioned already that Francis, of course, but I love St. Paul. My middle name is Paul. And just the conversion. I love stories of conversion. And Paul obviously encounters the Lord.
Is there any other feast day that celebrates someone's conversion? Not birth, not
right,
death.
Right, right, right.
Conversion. I don't think there is.
That's a great question. You know, just one side note real quick. Yesterday, which is 3 days ago, if you're listening to this in last
stop.
Month, so was the Word of God. The Holy Fathers called for the third Sunday of Ordinary Time to be the Word of God. I must say I thoroughly enjoyed praying and reflecting on having a feast that focuses on the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, we've got Pentecost, we've got focus on Holy Spirit, on Jesus' birth, on Mary. We celebrate a chair, we celebrate a beheading, right? So having, that was just wonderful. So back to conversion. I don't think there is. Is there one for, this is off. Again, this goes to, gee, I thought a priest would know that, right? But we're just adding this to the list. Do we have a specific conversion? I think it is. I think it's the only one.
I don't, well, who are you thinking?
Well, whether or not there was, but Saint, one of the apostles or something like that, Peter said, but
no.
You have the call of them, but not a celebration in specifically for them. And here's what I love about both of the people that listen to our podcast. I'm sure we'll get emails and people will tell us, gee, Father. Yeah. So.
Well, I got some emails correcting us. We're reading the Gospel of Mark, by the way.
Yeah,
liturgical year. But anyway, thank you. Thank you all.
Absolutely. First off, I love, in light of our theme of hope, one of the things I love is that there is always hope for conversion. I would love to have a dollar for every time people talk to me about people in their family who are away from the Lord and distant from the Lord. And what do you do? How do you go about to try to bring about conversion for them? And the one thing I always say is, and this is obvious, and sometimes we dismiss this like, well, it just doesn't really matter. But be intentional about praying for them. You know, I remember when a couple of my older brothers were just kind of wandering and distant from the Lord. I made a decision to pray and fast for them. I gave up sweets, and it turned out to giving up sweets for quite a while. But the Lord works in those things. My brothers eventually came back. The Lord works in our offerings, our sacrifices, our fasting, and our prayers. So that's the one thing I would say.
Amen.
The other thing I would say is also we need to stay in relationship. You know, that there are going to be situations with people that we really love that are going to wander away from the Lord. And you've got to stay in relationship with them. You can't write them off. You can't just dismiss them. And being able to reach out to them, and they're still people that you care for, still
right.
people that you love, and they could be doing really awful things. And again, this could get more complicated, but just stay in relationship with them. Don't just write them off.
Yeah. And whatever you can do to, even if it's changing the subject and finding things to, I mean, commonality is so important
absolutely.
In relationships.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we talk too much about football, but football is one of the great things in my family and my extended family and diverse thoughts and
sure,
practices
absolutely.
And other things, but we can always text each other about football.
It's baseball.
Is that what it is for you?
Well, Field of Dreams, there's that thing with everything going on in the world, baseball has always been that common theme.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Yoda. That's but, right. But yeah, that those.
It was Darth Vader was in Field of Dreams, not Yoda.
It was. But you're absolutely right. And to be continue to those relationships and reaching out to them. I was just thinking about, you know, conversion, and we knew we were going to talk about this, but just in my own life that there have been moments, and we understand that conversion is this process. In fact, Sunday's gospel was repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. That word for repent is metanoia, which is this continual process of conversion. And I'm filled with hope that the Lord has never done with me, right? Yeah. That he's always working and continuing to bring me into a deeper relationship with him, hopefully loving more. But that's also the case with everybody else. So that person in our life that's struggling, that's difficult for us to love, that the Lord is not through with them as well. It's, conversion is always possible.
And conversion is a work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, I found it many times in my life, you know, there's things I intellectually know to be true, but we it's not just about us kind of pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and, you know, fixing us. I mean, there's certainly... there's our intellect and will that's involved. There needs to be a decision and an openness.
The decision is really important.
Yeah.
Just to that end, that each of us needs to make this decision, this personal decision, that I want to be converted more, that I want to be drawn into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And the Lord works in that movement.
And the Lord works in that movement. Yeah, that's it. Because sometimes I think there's a fear of making that decision because we think, well, I can't do it. I can't change. The situation is too powerful for me. All of those things, all of those fears... really that get into our life that think I could never be a saint, right? And it's the Lord taking that openness of our heart and flooding it with his grace. It's asking the Holy Spirit to change, and you know, the Holy Spirit really can do the heavy lifting, mm-hmm. you know, in our sanctity and our holiness if we just continually open ourselves up to him.
Just when you said that, Bob, you said I can never be a saint. Like when you said that, it was just this slap. I mean, I don't know, there was just this moment of, that's an awful line.
Yeah.
You know, that awful line for anybody who believes that or says that I can never be a saint. That's just, it's just not true. And it doesn't matter. And this is why Paul is so important. It doesn't matter to me what your story is. Paul's desire was to destroy the church. He was about killing people, literally martyring people. The Lord intervenes in his life and we have this beautiful transformation that takes place. The Lord wants and is inviting all of us to be saints. And to say I can never do that is just... so limiting of what God wants to do in your life, whatever your story is that you're listening. So that part of you that went when you heard Bob say, you know, I can never be a saint, is simply not true. And just to speak a word of truth to that the Lord wants each one of us to be saints. And by the power of his Holy Spirit and by the grace of Jesus and by the sacraments, everybody's can ultimately be a saint. And we can have hope in that, right? Because
Amen.
It's not about our work.
Right. Yeah, it's about Christ's work. Amen. And actually, the farther off we are, the more glorified that Jesus is. In fact, I think one of the reasons why we have this feast is a celebration of somebody. I mean, you would have just never thought in a million years this guy Paul, you know, who was, you know, persecuting the church, who Christians were hiding from, he's the guy. Can you imagine?
Yes.
I mean, like when they, you know, it says in the scriptures that they came to the apostles and they're like, Paul has converted. And the first thought was, no, he didn't.
No, I imagine
it's
first,
a trap.
Yeah, that
you know,
first,
like,
the first
no
encounter,
way.
They're all nervous. It's like, we know this guy's story, Ananias, and we know this story and the anxiety that must have been there. And then they see the conversion. They see how the Lord is working in his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, which also reminds us, right, that there is nobody, you know, that person that you can't imagine converting, we need to pray for that.
Yeah.
You know, we need to pray for that. It would be pretty remarkable. Some entertainer that the Lord just breaks into their life and begins.
Or some politician.
Wow, you went there.
I went there.
Wow, that's
I went
awesome.
There, and that's a good place to go.
Amen.
Because we want to have hope, and we just want to believe in the power of the Lord. We want to hope in the Lord, and just have a confidence. And most importantly, let the Lord work in us first and foremost.
Amen.
You know, I mean, that's actually something within our control, even though a lot of our own lives seem completely out of control. But just allowing the grace of the Holy Spirit to bring about change and to believe and hope in that change. I mean, that's really the start of it, right?
You know, Amen.
That we know that God can do it.
Let's quit there.
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask your blessing and your grace to be upon all those who are with us at this time. Let them know your peace, your presence. We pray particularly for those who are struggling, that feel there is no hope or that are frustrated with their circumstances. intervene in their life. Be close to them. Let them know your peace. Also, our particular blessing on those who are celebrating birthdays this week. May Almighty God pour his blessings on you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Father Dave.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening and for watching and for all the emails and the ways that you are supporting us in this podcast ministry. Share the word about it and share with us stories of hope at hope@franciscan.edu. That's hope@franciscan.edu. God bless.